Political Watch with Graham Richardson.
G'day, Mr. Richardson. How are you?
I am very well indeed, sir. How are you?
That's good. Yeah, I can't complain. It's been a while since we caught up.
It has indeed. I hope sunny Newcastle's going well.
It's sunny today. I'm in the car park, 22 degrees at the moment, but very windy, quite windy, a nor-westerly blowing.
Yeah, well, all I know is, mate, that when in Newcastle, when the sun shines, it's a great place.
It is a great place.
I used to love going there. But I've still got to organise to come up there and have some lunch with you.
Yeah, one of these days we'll get to fulfil that. Mate, let's get stuck into some of the things I wanted to talk to you today about. But I'll give you an opportunity, because we haven't had a chance to talk yet, about the passing of Queen Elizabeth II. Gee whiz, I tell you, when you look at all of our television stations and our radio stations and our newspapers, my goodness me, we've done some wonderful coverage of the last week with the sad news announced at, in the early hours of 4 o'clock last Friday morning. I remember I woke up, never forget it, Richo, I suppose you're probably the same, turned on the telly at about 6:15 in the morning, and there it was, Queen Elizabeth dies.
Yeah, it's very big news, whether you're a monarchist or not. She gave her country phenomenal service, and you can only admire her. It'd be very hard to criticise her, very hard indeed.
Have you, in your illustrious career, ever had the opportunity to meet the Queen?
Oh, yeah.
I thought you would have.
Yeah, yeah. I showed her the particular time, because I met her several times, but I showed her through Expo, through the Australian Pavilion at Expo in 1988 in Brisbane. And she was actually very interested. Her husband wanted to leave immediately. She shut him down and said, "No, I'm going through this this pavilion." She just looked at me and she said, "Minister, just take me through." So, I had a bit to do with her. And she was a class act. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I'm certainly a Republican. I don't deny that, but it doesn't change the fact that she was a class act.
Do you well, let me ask you this. How much do you think that, because there were many, many Republicans that were, some might say, almost looking forward to the day that this would happen, because they felt that they could push their cause. And I understand that, you know, Republicans are keen to change. But do you think that change has been delayed as a result of what has happened, rather than what Republicans thought was going to happen?
I think that the X factor here is William and Kate.
Right.
I think everyone loves them. Everyone. And I think even a lot of people who call themselves Republicans would say that they, an era where William and Kate were king and queen, it'd be a pretty good era. It's certainly not something I'd wince at. I think, he's shown himself, William, to be an exceptional human being. He's not ordinary. And, of course, being in that royal family, it's hard to be ordinary, because the demands upon you are so big.
Anthony Albanese has come out and said already that there will not be a referendum on the Republican question in his first term of government. Can you see it happening if he gets a second term of government? Or do you think he may even delay it a little longer? I heard someone say the other day, this is a generational thing. It because of what has happened, and rightly, as you say, William and Catherine there being a very, very popular, that it could be a generational thing before we actually do move towards a republic.
I think it's going to be a long time. I'm not going to see it. I'm not sure if my son will. So I'm not about to stand here and say that it's going to be a quick change. It's not. Look, I think, as far as I'm concerned, I believe in a republic. I'd like to see one, but it's a 10th order issue at best. There are a lot of challenges facing Australia that are more important than whether or not we become a republic.
Your thoughts on some of the comments made on social media, particularly by Greens MPs, on the death of Queen Elizabeth II. Of course, this all started last Friday, and it was the leader of the Greens, Adam Bandt, that made the disgusting tweet, as I referred to it last Friday. There were articles that came from Fitzsimons promoting the ARM, but some of the other comments that have been made by Greens MPs after Adam Bandt's tweet last Friday, Richo, you can say nothing else but they are disgusting.
Yeah, well, I think Bandt himself is a serial idiot. He only opens his mouth to see which foot's going in. The guy's a goose. And unfortunately, the Greens have been taken over by people like him, who are very unrepresentative of Australia, which is why they're stuck on 10% and they can't shift it.
Mm-hmm. I hope it stays that way, mate. I got an email just this afternoon from Phyllis. She said, Brett, I was watching the show Q&A last night where the mostly biased panel were defending, are you across the Caitlin Moran and what she tweeted about the Queen on last Friday? Are you across that, Richard?
No, I'm not. Tell me about it.
Okay. Well, Caitlin Moran is a local footballer here. She plays in the NRLW, and her name is Moran. I've got to be honest. When I read the headline, I mistook it and sort of read it as moron. And I think I was right the first time, Caitlin Moron, because she tweeted something like, you know, good to see that, you know, she's gone. The Queen's just a dumb dog and stuff like that. There were some swear words in there as well, starting with F and all this sort of stuff. Now, what has happened, though, is she has been defended by people in the NRLW, and she was also defended by the coach. What she said was despicable, and she was fined 25% of her wage, but Graham, that was a suspended fine. In other words, she's not going to pay any money, and she's been taken out of the game for one match. That was the punishment handed down to her. And Phyllis was just referring to Q&A last night. She said there were people there actually defending her.
Yeah, well, I mean, unfortunately, you can't legislate to make people sensible. And therefore, there are always going to be fools, and it's a matter of how you suffer them. And as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to a time like this, whether you're a monarchist or not, it's a time to show respect.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's not hard to do.
It's not, is it?
If you look at the woman, she's very easy to respect. She gave incredible service over such a long time. You couldn't wish for anyone to give more of herself. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm a great admirer of her as a person.
You and me both. Plenty of questions for Dominic Perrottet this week on whether or not Stuart Ayres might return to the Cabinet after being cleared of any wrongdoing in the appointment of John Barilaro to a trade role in New York. Can you see? It's all gone very hush-hush. Can you see Dominic Perrottet making the decision to bring Stuart Ayres back into the Cabinet, or would you see that as just a silly move?
No, I think he should do it. I think this whole thing's been blown up ridiculously. And I don't think Stuart Ayres, he's not a friend of mine, nor an enemy. I mean, it's just not someone I've had a lot to do with. But I've just got to say, I don't think he's done anything wrong or said anything wrong. And I think we all should just take a deep breath over this one. People have just got very carried away.
The Opal reader machines on Sydney's railway platforms are going to be completely turned off next week. This is the latest in reference to this ongoing industrial dispute with the New South Wales government. Look, there's been lots of tit and tat between governments and unionists. The bottom line, though, is, Richo, the general public are just sick and tired of it and want it to come to an end.
Yeah, well, I don't understand why it hasn't. It's in the interests of both sides to settle it, and yet they seem to keep warring. I mean, I don't know if Perrottet realises it, but, you know, if people turn up to the station and there's no train, they don't blame anybody but the government.
Well, that's true.
It's the government's job to keep the trains running. That's pure and simple, that, as far as people are concerned. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, Turitay's got an absolute imperative to try and sort it out, and sort it out quickly.
You're right in what you say. People turn up, the trains aren't running, people aren't going to say, that damn Alex Clausens, it's his fault. No, they're going to blame Dominic Perrottet, aren't they?
Exactly.
Yeah,
right. They've never heard of Clausens, so they've heard of Perrottet. And governments run the train. So it's you can't get away from it. And I think, I know that Premiers, Labor or Liberal, would like to huff and puff and blame the unions. It's always easy to do. But when the crunch comes, you have to deal with them because they're a fact of life. There's not much point in whinging about their existence. You've got to learn how to deal with them, and you've got to learn how to get the better of them in those negotiations rather than just cower in the corner, which is what we seem to do.
Yeah, true. Business leaders have backed the PM after he flagged the continuation of pandemic leave payments as long as COVID-19 isolation is compulsory. He says that governments have a responsibility to communities on which they impose restrictions. That's true, but my goodness me, everyone keeps talking about getting back to some form of normal. I mean, we're down the road now from what it used to be, but, you know, we're still in a situation where I suppose governments are forced to help people out.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, I think there's been enough done on COVID. I don't think we're... What am I going to be looking at? I'll be in my grave and we'll still be giving things away for COVID. This is just nonsense. I mean, it's time to just call a halt and say enough's enough.
Do you think we will see before Christmas, they're talking about the National Integrity Commission, I mean the Prime Minister, was it yesterday or the day before, he shut down calls from independent MPs for an early draft that might hasten debate on the reform. The PM says the bill will go to caucus in the week beginning September 26 and be put to Parliament soon afterwards.
Well, I think that's a reasonable timing. I mean, you know, I'm not in favour of it.
I do know that. Yes,
I think it's crazy. You just create another huge bureaucracy, which will just seek to grow and grow, seek to increase the number of people that can investigate, and drive more people mad at greater and greater cost for very little result. That's what happens with these things. If you have a look at ICAC in Sydney, it's got a couple of premiers, but it hasn't done much for corruption otherwise.
No, it hasn't. Can I ask you, Governor Philip Lowe from the RBA, do you think he should step down?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I think I can put a reasonable case up either way.
Right.
But my view is, on balance, I'd let him stay.
Right.
But I'd let him stay with a very solid kick in the bum and being told that he's on borrowed time if he makes another mistake.
Do you think the right decision was made to have a public holiday next Thursday? I see that when it was called, the AMA says it'll force the cancellations of some surgeries, and business groups have also expressed a level of hesitation. Do you think it was the right decision?
I hate criticising Albo because he's my mate, but I wouldn't have done it.
Right.
So I don't agree with it. We don't need a public holiday for this. The Brits aren't having one. I figure if they're not having one, there's not much point in us having one.
And just before I let you go, what's your thoughts? The Shadow Attorney General, he says that King Charles III should be on Australia's $5 note. I see we had some opinions from, Peter Fitzsimons was one the other day. He said that we shouldn't have the Queen on the $5 note. We shouldn't have King Charles's head on the back of our coins. I mean, I don't think, I suppose that's the barrow that he is pushing. Your thoughts? King Charles, he's our new sovereign, and does he deserve the respect of the federal government?
Of course he does, and of course he should be on our notes, because the truth is, when it comes to the currency, all we're doing is acknowledging who is in effect our head of state, and that's what you should do.
Yeah.
Now, you mightn't like the fact that King Charles is the head of state, but he is, and And so as long as he is, I don't see how you don't acknowledge him. I'm not going to pretend he's not there.
Well, I suppose it'll be just something that is done over time, and slowly they'll change the coins to have the face of King Charles III on the back of that, and someone one day will make a decision. They'll stand up and say, from this date, we will have, you know, King Charles on the $5 note.
Yeah, it'll happen. So let's just lie back and enjoy it until then.
Did you know, I asked this question earlier this afternoon, maybe you did, we're talking of people over the age of 100. Do you know, as of 2021, how many people over the age of 100 there are in Australia? If I was to ask you as a question, Graeme Richardson, how many people do you think there are, 2021, the last figures were available, are over 100 and have received a letter of congratulations from the Queen?
Well, there'd have to be quite a few these days. I'd say there'd be a couple of hundred.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
6,000.
My God.
That's true. 6,000. I was astounded when I came across these figures.
Oh. Well, I'm astounded by that. That just stuns me completely.
If we go back to 1981, the number of people that had reached 100 and received a letter from the Queen was 400. In 1981. So it was 400 in 1981. It's 6,000 in 2021. Do you know what the projection of people that will reach 100 and receive a letter from the Queen will be in 2050?
Well, tell me about it.
40,000.
Bloody hell.
That's what they say, 40,000. So King Charles III, if he's still there in 2050, he'll need a separate office to send all Australians that have reached 100 birthday cards.
Well, he's going to have to send me one. I intend to hang around be a nasty old bugger, but I'll be here.
Good on you. I doubt you and I'll still be talking on a regular basis, though.
Oh, mate, don't give up early. Hang around.
All right, mate. It's good to catch up with you. I might see if we can change times next week, because for the next 3 weeks, I think it is, I'm filling in for John Laws. So maybe we can talk between 9 and 12 at some stage.
Yeah, mate, whatever you like. I'll always be available for you, as you realise.
Thanks, Richard. Appreciate you, mate.
Okay, mate.
Okay, bye-bye.